that incident that is recorded in the gospel is meant to encourage us. That widow gave from her substance, not from her surplus. And we're supposed to do that in our prayer, in our praise, in our forgiveness of each other, in our love, in our preaching of the gospel, and in our sharing of material goods. Now, returning now to the book of Revelation, we're in chapter 14. And this is a pause where there are these visions. You know, I've been saying there are two worlds. What we see today is how the characteristics of the heavenly world are here on earth. And that's what this text is all about. I looked and I saw the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 who had his name and his father's name written on their foreheads. 144,000. 1,000 is a perfect number, and then 12 times 12. So it's a number. It's the same number that we see in chapter 7. From the tribe of Reuben, 144,000. From the tribe of Gad, 144,000, and so forth. And so I saw this multitude, a perfect, perfect number, whatever, millions maybe. And they all had the reality of God stamped right on their face. That's who they are. Well, who are they? You see? They are the kind of people we just heard about in Vietnam. Trying to live the gospel, trying to love their neighbors, and facing great hardships, many of them with great peace. And finally, many of them giving their lives. They are single in their life. Some are celibate and express that singleness in a very particular way, which is a grace for everybody, reminds everybody of heaven. Some are married and have children, but they have that look of God on their face. You know what I mean. You walk into a department store, go shopping or something, and there's somebody, and there's something about their face. And if you get in a conversation with them, you find out they love Jesus Christ. There they are, you know, they could be coming from, you know how many people in these apartment stores now are from all over. But they have that, you see, it's stamped on their face, whoever they are. And so I heard a sound from heaven, like the sound of rushing waters or a loud peal of thunder. The sound I heard was like that of harpists playing their harps. Remember, we heard last night about somebody who got a glimpse of heavenly music and never forgot it. You see, these two worlds interpenetrate. The sound I heard was like of harpists playing their harps. They were singing what seemed to be a new song. It can only be a new song when there's something new to sing about. So what's new? The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's so new. That lifts up all the oldness of this world and changes it. The very structure of reality has changed. Because Jesus, one of us, rose from the dead. Took into his divinity the whole of our humanity in himself. So they're singing a new song. You have to sing a new song There's something new to sing about. And they were singing this before the four living creatures and the elders. Now, no one could learn this hymn except the 144,000 who had been ransomed from the earth. And then, I don't know why our text omits, these are those who were not soiled with women. So they're singing as a symbol of male celibates. But you see, you can be a male celibate and be a bum. It doesn't count, you see. What is it? You see, the idea of adultery or fornication is a common Old Testament expression for idolatry, for infidelity to God. Now, those who were not swept along by that culture, by the pagan culture in Vietnam that was persecuting and killing these people, by the pagan culture of Rome that was persecuting and killing these people, and by all the cultures that seduce, force, threaten pharmacists who, in conscience, cannot sell contraceptives, lose their job. They're not contaminated. You see what I mean? Where did we get like this? Actually, you know, back in the old ethnic churches we had all over the place, I'm not saying they were all monasteries, you know, they weren't all, but there was something there. They were still strange to the culture, and the culture was not well developed. And they were, you know, at one time there was serious thought, rather than the African Americans, we'll make the Irish slaves to dig these canals, you see. They were different. Again, they weren't all saints, but they were different. The key change probably came when John Kennedy made a distinction between being a Catholic and being an American. What the Pope says, you know, and so forth, he cannot tell me what to do as President of the United States. Well, of course, he's not going to tell you how to run the government. But he can tell you who you are and what it means to believe in Jesus Christ. And that distinction cuts so neatly that people, by that time we were getting rich and accepted and all that sort of thing, that cut us loose from our mooring in the gospel. And now we're indistinguishable. And yet we feed on the body and blood of Christ. But we're indistinguishable. And, you know, you don't want to be a fanatic, you know. You don't want to, of course you don't want to be a fanatic. No, you know, fanatic, you know where that word comes from? Fan. Or fan comes from fanatic. So I could be a Jesus fan. And so you see, the challenge that we face is to reassess ourselves and live, so long as we have to, in both worlds at once, out of love. We heard the gospel yesterday. Who lives with Jesus forever and who doesn't? On that criterion, those who care for those in need and show them the love of the Father, they walk right in. And those who are preoccupied, self-centered, dishonest, and sell themselves to this culture, they better watch it. It was a shock to see how many Catholic people didn't get it. And now we have a call, you see. They follow the Lamb wherever he goes. That would be neat, wouldn't it? Be always with the Lamb, in this world and in the next. They have been ransomed as the first fruits of the human race for God and the Lamb. On their lips no deceit has been found. They are unblemished. Now, you know, we've talked about this before in terms of Psalm 32. What does it mean to have no deceit? It means to know your sins are forgiven. And then we stop lying. We stop, I don't know, making ourselves better than we are, whatever. We stop lying. You know how it goes in that psalm there? Blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven, whose guilt is covered over, whose transgressions are forgiven, and on his lips there is no guile. How does the last one go with the first three? They're all forgiveness of sins. The rest of the psalm, tune in, you can read it yourself today. You'll see. Your hand lay heavy on me. I was sick. I was this. And then I confessed my sins. And now, I have no guile. I got nothing to hide. I know my sins are forgiven. You see. There's no deceit. They're unblemished. They keep themselves from the darkness, the self-centeredness, the violence, the corruption, the mad drive for pleasure and power. They keep themselves for those things, for the love of Jesus and for the love of their brothers and sisters. Because by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, they know that that leads to death. So here they are, you see, all of these people, and he sees them. And there they are. Here and there. Both. It's not just about heaven and the next world. Look around. There are plenty of people like this. Moved, transformed, radiant, holy, by the work of the Holy Spirit. And they follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Like these thousands of people who died witnessing to Jesus. Now, lots of people live witnessing to Jesus, but their life is not stuck in this culture, and their minds are not deceived. Because they pray, because they're faithful to Jesus, and because they care about other people. This book of Revelation is hard to understand. But it's such a grace. It's worth, you know, and what they've done, the editors, of course, they've taken little snippets here and there, because it's a huge book, you know, 22 chapters of symbolism. It's hard to get. But once in a while, there's a nice, clear passage like this one. And who are these people? They are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes, whether they're in this life or the other one.